we are hearing from opponents of LD 1611.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is John Wilson. Although you've seen me and heard me here as the chair of the Maine State Prison Board of Visitors, I'm not representing the Board of Visitors today. The Board of Visitors doesn't have a position on this bill. I'm speaking as a citizen who for almost 10 years now has worked as a volunteer at the Maine State Prison in a variety of capacities. I'm also speaking full disclosure. Representative Schatz assured me that our friendship would continue even though I was speaking in opposition, and I'm counting on that. I hope that's the case. I'm speaking as a what I think of as a passionately committed volunteer at the Maine State Prison over the years. I've worked with a number of inmates very closely. I've worked with groups of inmates, and I've worked with a number of victim survivors of some of the inmates. I bring a great deal of respect for a lot of the inmates up there, those particularly who have worked, continue to work so hard to express accountability, to do their time in a way that expresses accountability for what they did to put themselves in prison. I also bring a great deal of respect for the core of officers and program staff who work so hard. And it really chokes me up to hear these officers, both from MCC and from MSB. You know, you can see and feel the professionalism and commitment there. And it makes me very proud to be a citizen of the state. It makes me very proud to be affiliated with the Department of Corrections. I'm a citizen who really wants offenders to succeed. That is what drives me. I don't think that prisons are for punishing them further. I think prisons are where they go to be punished. But that's, you know, hopefully where something can change. I'm also very strong in my belief that in maximum security prisons, there need to be control units, of which the SMU is one. It falls under that general category of control units. I think they have to be set up and run according to well-thought-out policies and protocols. And I know that some of them are not always run this way or not always managed on a shift that way. We're all human, and it can be very, very challenging to work with very oppositional and defiant inmates. But I actually believe the SMU at Maine State Prison actually has the potential to become a leading control unit in the country. Under the current unit manager Charlton, under Warden Barnhart, under the way that the department is thinking and acting these days, I have a lot of faith in the future for Maine State Prison, for the SMU, for the Department of Corrections in general. You know, I have to say that I'm dismayed by the implications of the title of LD 1611, from which it's not too hard to infer that the way it's being run is inhumane, or that the people who work there are inhumane. And that's not true in my experience. And there's a problem even in the language of the title. But that's you've heard articulate, eloquent argument about why the SMU is needed and why certain things are needed. I affirm all of those, so I won't waste much time reiterating what they've said. I think prisons, you know, are really, really tough places to live, and control units are even tougher places to live. You know, when inmates talk about how hard it is to be locked up for 23 or so hours a day, you know, I know that they're speaking the truth. They're not making this stuff up. But most inmates are not placed there without cause. They do something to get themselves there. And they do something to keep themselves there. And I think that we have to be aware of that fact when we're talking about, you know, whether to make the SMU run more humanely or differently. I don't think there's an officer there. I've never met an officer in the prison who's just waiting for somebody to act out. You know, it's a pain. They don't want that. They want them to behave. They want them to work in respectful and pro-social ways. And they will return the same. Obviously, there are some officers who get on a little power trip. There are some officers who don't belong there. And hopefully, every one of those officers has been escorted off the grounds or in a process of hearings has been terminated. All this said, I don't know any corrections management professionals in the country and I work in a lot of different state systems in my victim offender dialogue work. I don't know any corrections management professionals who could support much of what is in LD 1611 as I read it. I don't know. Maybe they can, but I don't see it. I do believe the bill reflects the thinking of very concerned and very well-intentioned and very intelligent individuals, and these concerns, many of which have been articulated beautifully here today, deserve to be heard, deserve to be weighed. But I think that the 1611, as it's written, presents tremendous complications. And again, I'm speaking as a citizen who is closely connected to the Maine State Prison and is in and out of there all the time on a volunteer basis. I think it would be very difficult to manage those severely oppositional and defiant inmates if there weren't all the tools that they have. I don't want to take much more of time here. I'm really talking about those. I'm not talking about the mostly nonviolent, mentally ill who have, in a way, their own unit. They have a day room that they can go into. I am talking about those severely violent inmates who will strike out viciously at anyone, anytime, for reasons only they may know, targeting fellow inmates, targeting officers, targeting counselors, including direct service providers, who only and visibly have their interests at heart, who are there to help them. So I think there's a lot of unpredictability there, and I share, it's a total, I mean, I'm not trained as a mental health worker, as a psychologist, as any of that. But when people talk about the sort of the slippery slope of mental illness diagnosis, I agree with them. I think a lot of behaviors start to get folded into that. And of course, anybody who can hurt another person and enjoy it has mental health issues. But I don't know that that's the same thing here. I'm talking about the inmates who are moved to the SMU because of dangerous behaviors they engage in. And some of them obviously remain there because of those dangers. In my view and in my observation, they're there because the SMU is the only place where they can be kept from harming others or harming themselves or inciting harmful actions among others. They're brought there to be controlled. That's what's needed. In a facility that's all about control, there's got to be a place for those who go out of control. So what about this? People have spoken eloquently about the 45-day time frame. I just want to say that if I know a lot of inmates who, if all they had to do was behave for 45 days in order to get out and do what they intended to do initially, which is to say hurt somebody, that would be a piece of cake. Behaving for more than 45 days, behaving for 90 days would be fine if that's what they really wanted to do. So I don't think that the time frame is, I don't think there's any wisdom there. Offenders that I know would have no problem doing what they had to do and then moving on to doing what they intended to do originally. I don't see how we can operate without that ultimate judicious use of the restraint chair. And, you know, with all due respect to Dr. Grasstein, was that his name? With all due respect to Dr. Grasstein, who did use little anecdotal evidence, I'm aware, if you go on the Internet and look up the Irvin Institute's report on Supermax, on the SMU, on Special Management Unit prisoners and facilities, you will find that correctional administrators in the majority found that the SMU increased inmate safety, increased officer safety. That is in a report. It's not every report says nothing changes. It is true that, you know, inmates who are in the SMU are not going to be rehabilitated, but neither are, you know, 60% of the inmates who are just doing their time and not, you know, not doing any programming. Additionally, anecdotally, I actually met an inmate in Minnesota who was in for manslaughter, who was constantly acting out in order to get some feeling of power in a place where there was none. And the only thing that changed him was being placed in restraints. It wasn't a chair, it was a board. It was worse than a chair. He was placed standing up at the end of a hallway after numerous actings out, and stripped naked and stood up at the end of this hallway. And that's where he stayed for a couple of hours. I have no idea what kind of counseling he got. But what he said to me was, I finally realized that I could not win. And when I talk to guys who have been affected by their time in the SMU, that's the thing they realize. We just had testimony from a person who said, 2 weeks was all I needed. Well, a lot of inmates feel that same way. 2 weeks in the county, he didn't want to go in the SMU because of what he knew about ADSEG. I believe that there are some people who don't even need to go there to know its lesson, and some who, you know, maybe only need to go for a couple of weeks and know its lesson. Others, that's what they want. That's where they want to live. That, I don't mean they want to live in a little room with just one window and 1 hour out, but that's where their behavior leads them. That's where it gets them. And so, for me, there's no question that it's always beneficial to review the guidelines and the policies in any facility. And, you know, I loved it when the person from MCC spoke of that annual review. I'm sure it happens at MSP. I mean, that's just good sense and good practice. I really believe they take that seriously. I believe they take it ethically. I don't think there's anything wrong with reviewing the policies and guidelines. But already at the Maine State Prison SMU, there is an initiative there that's been going on for some, been being worked on for some years, and it's being developed now by the current unit manager. And that is an individualized, incentive-based, progressive behavioral program for the inmates there. That, if that works, I believe that'll put Maine State Prison's SMU in a position of true leadership in the country. Not just it'll be an okay place, but it'll be a leading place. I think it has tremendous potential. So, it's evident that I feel that the bill would be, it would be a mistake for the legislature to pass this bill, and I hope that it doesn't get out of committee. I would like to say a couple of things, if I may. Representative Schatz referred to how the SMU looked like an SMU he had seen in Colorado 30 years ago. I think I got that right. 40 years ago. What is different about 40 years ago and now, as anybody who works in corrections will tell you, is these guys are much more volatile, they're much more violent, they're much... The younger inmates are more violent now than they were. It is a different world. They are different, they are much more oppositional, much more defiant, much less caring. And I think the population has a lot to do with the behaviors that get them to the SMU. Representative Hink was in here this morning, spoke about, obviously, he referred to the obvious problem of resources. Well, that is the problem. If we can't provide, I'm still speaking as a citizen. If we can't provide the proper programming in the general population of the prison, that's where the problem is. If there's nothing to do, if all they have to do is think about how to make trouble, they're going to do it. The problem is not What happens when they get there? Why did they even get there in the first place? I'm talking about the SMU from general population. So it is, I mean, again, it's resources. Okay. I think I'm done. Almost. I take
Don't
issue.
Give us hope.
I take issue with Stan Moody's remark that replacing the warden isn't prison reform. Well, it's not all of prison reform, but it's a terrific step. And I'm speaking as one who has tremendous actual love and admiration for Warden Farrell. But the facility did need a change. That change has made a big difference. That is the beginning of prison reform. Prison reform doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen with the flick of a switch, and it doesn't happen with the disposition of funding. But it is the beginning. So I think that's really important. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, for being here today. We this is an important topic. We really don't want to cut anybody off. And so I'm going to try not to do that. But I have a fairly early bedtime, so I would like to make sure that I don't have to do that here. So I would ask if there are any questions, Mr. Wilson, at this time. And I knew that I could do that, Mr. Wilson. You and I know each other.
Yes, we do.
I could make that comment on your watch.
I think I heard some sort of hint there, but I do actually have questions this time, if I may. Mr. Wilson is a frequent flyer here. And in the prison system, I value your opinions. Your volunteer work, have you done volunteer work at the Bay State Prison?
Yes.
And I know you stress you're not here as representing the Board of Visitors.
That's correct.
Your Board of Visitors work is at the Bay State Prison.
That's correct.
You referred to some comments earlier, and I think the chaplain who spoke earlier made some very serious allegations against people at the Main State Prison. I wonder, in your work, are you familiar with any of those specific allegations, or do you know of similar things going on at the Main State Prison?
I do not know. I'm not familiar with those allegations, and I do not know of similar things. I have heard things reported. That people have said somebody did something. I have talked with a lot of inmates and listened to a lot of inmates, both prior to my being on the Board of Visitors and after my being on the Board of Visitors. And I believe they know that we do listen, and that moments where an officer says something rude or worse, disrespectful, or even despicable to an inmate. It's very hard work.
And finally, if I may, you heard the testimony. I know you've been here all day. The testimony has been valuable for me, and I hope us as a committee, in terms of concerns. This bill is intended to address several specific concerns. Do you see anything in this bill that you believe cannot be addressed internally without a new statute?
No, I don't. I don't know about the power and purpose of putting it into law as opposed to policy. I mean, that's out of my league. But I believe that the department is working very hard to make sure, and on its own, to make sure that the policy is responsible and humane. Is that when there were officers here who spoke about ethics, and what I heard as a subject was respect. I think there's a lot of respect between many officers and many inmates. But there are a few inmates who aren't going to receive respect, and there are a few officers who aren't going to express respect. But they're not welcome at the Maine State Prison. I'm pretty sure of that. And or at any other facility in the state of Maine. They don't belong there.
Thank you for your responses. Are there any additional questions or set asides?
Representative Haskell, Mr. Wilson, and your role as a board of visitors, have you ever been denied access to the prison?